Now, you may know him more for his work with the Christians. He loves beautiful dinners, turn us by our greed. Oh, when will there be a harvest for the world?
Oh, 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 that's not allowed in the ideal world. We'd be free to choose.
Henry Priestman's here. How are you doing? You've had a very varied career, mate.
Well, you never know quite what I'm going to do now. I can't believe that you knew. I bet people, when you played that yacht song, they'll go, who, what, what's this? No, it'd be great if something, I don't know if people, can they ring in or, you know, email in? Does anybody remember that song? You do, Johnny.
Absolutely. I remember buying that along with, like, Buzzcocks' Spiral Scratch and
yes,
things like
yes.
that. You know?
It's 1977, that from. Yeah.
So they were all... you're a bit of a groundbreaker.
Oh, thank you very
because
much.
Because a lot of the bands didn't get into their stride until 78 and that. But so 77 was...
Yeah, it was on Stiff as well.
And you were on Stiff Records.
Yeah, which was a cool label to be on. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have very fond... Was it all about just learning your craft and cutting your teeth in your first band?
Oh, absolutely. We didn't know what we were. The art college
good.
Band.
No, and
we
none of us did either.
It's funny because I did an interview this week with the chap who's writing a book about Stiff Records. So we wanted, and we were only on Stiff for about 6 months because we then signed to another label after the first single. That you just played the first single there. And I've just got fond memories. I mean, you don't go in the office and there's Ian Dury and Costello and all these people, mavericks that nobody else would sign. But you think, God, they went and sold loads of records.
But
you know?
Stiff became the gathering ground for, as you say, the runts of the litter that none of the other record companies wanted all gathered together.
Yeah, Madness, you know, Kirsty, and all these sorts of brilliant, brilliant singles especially, you know.
No, it was brilliant. And the thing about you, I don't know, I mean, when you're in a band like that, an early band, you just love it so much.
We were at the art college. I was getting into trouble because how come we were playing with the Boomtown Rats. We did a tour with the Boomtown Rats. How come you can sign in at 8 o'clock in the morning when you were meant to be at Usher Hall in Edinburgh last night? It's a fair cop. So we left the art college and, you know, we did it full time. But we didn't expect anything to happen. I didn't expect to be still here and, you know, 33 and a third years later.
But you've been going on. You were involved with It's Immaterial as well.
Yeah, Driving Away From Home.
Were you out of the band by the time the single came around?
I was a sort of like a session man because I'd started working with the Christians then.
Just saying, was it a bit of a Pete Best moment? They were in the charts and although you did appear on Top of the Pops with them, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I'm on YouTube with lots of hair.
Yeah.
And I'm still saying, well, we're meeting for a pie club next week, me and John.
Oh, good. Yeah. And then you were in Betty Bright and the Illuminations.
Yes.
Again, if you're into certain type of music, this would have been...
Might have heard... I mean, Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols was the bass player, and Clive Langer, who would go on to produce all of Madness and Madonna and Bowie, and, you know, he was the other guitarist. So it was all sorts of people.
Were you in Wah?
I was in... I played with Wah for a bit, around Sinful. Do you remember that track?
Yeah, yeah. What a tune.
Yeah,
love that,
Pete
song.
Wiley.
Love that.
Bonkers, we love him.
Yeah. That's, you've got a real who's who just in your own background here of, you know, who you were working with. And the Christians is a bit of a removal. It was sort of very much calmed down and chilled out and very melodic and everything else.
Yeah, I suppose it was quite a bit more mainstream. I suppose the thing is, we had hits.
Yeah.
That was the difference.
But what I liked about the Christians, you heard the attitude. In the lyrics, Forgotten Town, and I loved Hooverville and things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
People always remember Hooverville. I do still do it. I mean, I do a couple. I don't hark back much when I do my gigs these days, but I'll do Ideal World and Born Again, and Forgotten Town, because Forgotten Town works great. I do it a different way, because that's almost reggae, the version you played there, you know. And I've sort of Henry Priestmaned it up a bit.
Yeah.
It's not Gary singing it with his velvet voice. It's me with my sort of... I don't know, emery paper voice.
And people are just be glad to hear the material, mate. But the Christians, I mean, you had lots of success. I mean, we know there was success in the UK. Did it transfer? I mean, were you big in the States or anything?
No, they didn't really get it. Canada, but they didn't. And main thing was Europe. France, number one in France with a song called Words and with a second album. In fact, it was the second album that did better.
Yeah.
In Britain, in the UK, it was the first album that did well. Yeah, so, and by the third album, which I think is still a good album, great album, but our time had come, I think, at that point, and we did one more best of and then split up for 5 years, then came back together and did sort of unplugged tours from 2000 for a few years, and then I'd had enough. It was time to move on.
Yeah? Did you say bye-bye to the music biz, or did you?
No, I'd had enough of the Christians. Yeah, sorry, I was doing other things, and I started working with, doing bits of production, worked with this girl called Amy Wodge, who's a singer-songwriter, and, yeah, various bits, and songwriting with lots of different people. And I just enjoyed that far more.
Yeah, you ended up at one stage producing Mark Owen from Take That.
Yes.
What was that like?
Well, my friend Guy, who's in the room with me here, snapping photos, we probably spent, he probably came up to work with us at least 10 or 12 times. So we got about 8 or 9 songs, and some of them were absolutely amazing songs. And I spent a year in his house producing
it. A year?
Yeah, a year, I know. It was as though he never wanted to finish. I mean, bless him, he's the loveliest chap going, is Mark, lovely. And then at some point, me and the co-producer said, we have to finish this album. It's just going on. It was just like, oh, can we try this new song? And I reckoned for that year I was paid less than a cleaner would have been, you know. But it was an enjoyable year, and I met loads of great people. But then he went and won Celebrity Big Brother. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting a call from somebody saying, Mark Owen's looking for new songs. I'm going, you are? Yeah. Because I think the new record company came in and we want it to be more pop or more this or more that. But I got number three, top three single, 4 minute warning out of it. I produced that.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was great. I just think all these are learning. You learn, you learn something with every different person. I'm going to learn from the two people I work with tonight, which is Jared Dickinson and Ray Morris. The songwriter circle. I'll learn something tonight.
Yeah.
Even though I've worked out, I put on my Facebook yesterday, I've worked out that their combined age is 14 years younger than me. A little bit scary, that, John, isn't it?
Yeah. But you've all this experience, and as you say, everything you do, you draw from it and you learn. So, to borrow one of your own expressions, you're a veteran of the punk wars.
Yes.
And then you went through the chart success with the Christians and all these other bands. You produced, an out-and-out pop act like Mark Owen. Did you work with Melanie C as well?
Yes. Again, the chap across the room from me, we wrote with Melanie C, yes, and I've worked with Jason Donovan.
Some things we won't talk about,
But I worked with sort of like weird ambient stuff like, Paul from the Wild Swans and Bill Drummond
Bill Drummond, well, sure, that
all
was
these sorts of people. It's just I love doing that. But, and then suddenly 5 years ago, I did record my own album, expected absolutely nothing to. I thought I'd sell 200 copies on MySpace. I hadn't sung since 1981, since Yachts days when I used to sing the odd song. And suddenly found myself playlisted on Radio 2 and, on BBC Breakfast. So I'm just having the time of my life. I'm just at the stage now where I'm going around the UK and now, I'm over here. It's fantastic.
Yeah, because certainly you're talking about the album Chronicles of Modern Life. The opening track, Don't You Love Me No More, is a classic pop song.
Well,
why didn't it sell 10 million copies? seriously, I hadn't heard it before today.
Right.
I thought, Henry's coming in, we better listen to some stuff. But it was one of those, and you hear 10 seconds of it, and you think, that's a great tune.
Well, it was. I mean, it's a great one for playing live and to get all the audience singing along. And there's a song called Grey's the New Blonde, and that was the one that seemed to get people. In fact, over here in Northern Ireland, it got picked up quite a bit. So, yeah, there might be a few people who actually know me from the new solo stuff.
Yeah, the new solo stuff. But it just for those who were just tuning in, we had to sort of paint the picture and tell them, you're a man of vast experience, you see. And you wrote with
a bluffer.
Graham Goldman as well. 10cc.
Yes, I've written 3 songs on his new album.
It would have been quicker naming a few people that you haven't haven't worked with. Maybe. Is there anybody you wanted to work with and you didn't get doing it? I mean, did you ever approach anyone and say, let's do something? Clear off.
Not really. I think maybe it's because of that reason, in case they do go clear off. And then if I love them, I think,
yeah.
Or they turn out to be, well, there's a case in point from this country, you know, to be a bit of a misery. And you think that there could be a hero, and they come down. I'm mentioning no names,
yes,
but we know.
I think I know who you're talking about.
And it puts you off listening to their records.
I hate that. It's funny, you get it in here, and we all have all musical heroes, you know, and the people will come in like yourself. And when they leave, sometimes you're sitting with your head in your hands saying, I used to love his records, and now I can't listen to them because he was a... It wasn't very nice. Searching for a word there, I'm allowed to say. So listen, I'm just you're all right. We'll still listen to yours so far. You're in a black box tonight with Ray Morris, Jared Dickinson, and then tomorrow night in the King's Head with Mark Shaw from Then Jericho and Boo Hurdine from the Bible.
And he's written a lot. He wrote Patience of Angels.
No, but I loved that. What was it? Graceland?
Yes, that's right. What a song that was.
I loved that. Yeah. So you're in good company. This is all good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And so what do you do when do you all take turns at playing songs? Or what is the setup
here?
Oh,
it's fantastic. I mean, I've done a few. I've done a couple in Britain, and I did one in Nashville, actually, with a friend, with this girl, Amy Wodge, I was talking about. And they're great. You just sit around... you talk about the song and maybe how you were inspired to write it. And it's, they have the BBC4, they have the Songwriter Circle series. Have you ever seen?
Yeah.
They're fantastic. And especially if they get on, you can see some work better than others. But there was one with Fran Healy from Travis, Graham Gouldman and Ron Sexsmith. And you can just see they all were mutually respecting what each, and some probably didn't even know what they did beforehand. I know Graham had never heard of Ron Sexsmith before them, and he became his biggest fan since that. And so I'm hoping, you know, I've never heard Ray Morris's work, or just I've gone and checked out their latest, you know, YouTube video, but I'm not really aware of much of what she and Jared do tonight. So it's going to be a thrill for me to, and hopefully I can, if they're, as long as it's three chords, I can join in. As long as they don't come in there. Expensive, diminished.
Yeah. Somebody shout to her, you want to do a Quo song?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, you're going to sing one for us, mate?
Yeah, shall I sing one?
Yeah, please do.
Just, maybe we should put the CD in because it'd be better. But no, I'll give it a go. I'll do one off the album. This one's about, this is for anybody out there with teenage daughters. And it's when the boyfriend is brought home for the first time. It's called He Ain't Good Enough For You.
Yeah.
Got a future that is bright and happy. You'll never want for anything. He seemed nice enough as he smiled at me. Nice and polite. Don't make it right. He ain't good enough for you, and it hurts. But I know you could do so much worse. No, I can't pull all the years in reverse. Oh, I'll probably get to like him. But the thing that's really frightening is I think I was just like him, and it hurts. I never pictured you with lords and princes, but I had you down for better things. But that look you got, it sure convinces he's Mr. Right. It's in your eyes, but he ain't good enough for you, and it hurts. But I know you could do so much worse. No, I can't put all the years in reverse. Oh, I'll probably get to like him. But the thing that's really frightening is I think I was just like him, and it hurts. Oh, I think I was just like him, and it hurts.
Sung a song on behalf of fathers everywhere. Yes, brilliant. Henry, that is terrific. Thank you very much, mate.
Thank you.
And good luck with the gigs, okay?
Thank you very much.